Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh.
Oompa loompa doompa dee doo. I've got another riddle for you. Oompa loompa.
Keep going.
Somebody's birthday today.
If you are wise, you listen to me.
The creepy green dudes.
They were orange.
They were orange? Oh,
yeah. It's clearly. Somebody's colorblind.
Clearly.
Oompa loompas are orange with green hair.
Okay, part of them was green.
This is true.
From the Amazon. Were they from the Amazon or something? What was that? Was that the deal?
I don't know.
From the Amazon jungle, and they found them there, and they brought one, and I don't know.
Happy birthday, Gene Wilder.
Yeah. That's where all this is going.
We can't remember your movie or how it went, but we think it's cool.
That's the funniest part about it.
Didn't you just love that movie?
I did. It's probably one of my favorite movies growing up. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, Willy Wonka. We used to watch it on the last day of school, on field day. Yeah, don't you remember field day?
Field day is where you bring your pop can and you put a little piece of tape on it and you write your name on the tape.
Yeah, we got a Pepsi and a Hershey's chocolate bar to have while we watched Willy Wonka.
What is this field day you speak of?
Wait, were you not a public school kid?
Yeah.
Oh, did they not do field day?
No.
It's like the day where you run the 100-yard dash.
Oh, yeah. Track and field day.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
It was field day.
Yeah. But nowadays, they just have like water balloon fights. It's not a real field day.
Yeah. And they wouldn't give the people Pepsi because that's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Apple juice.
They would give them naturally pressed, no sugar added, not from concentrate apple juice with a gluten-free, healthy, fruit-filled, and vegetable-filled bar of some kind.
With no sugar added.
Thank God my kids don't go to school.
High fructose corn syrup.
Does that help you concentrate just to go into that?
Speaking to a British accent. Yeah. That way if I mess up my words, it doesn't matter as much.
Daddy, I want a squirrel.
Daddy.
I didn't see the old Willy Wonka before the new one.
Oh.
So I saw the new one. And then it kind of ruined me for the old one because I'm like, oh, the production's way better on the new one. And I'm watching the old one and the colors are weird. And
that was part of the novelty of it was that it was all machines and blankets. And
yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. And like the girl that eats the thing and she blows up.
Yeah.
I always was a little freaked out by that. What if she popped?
Right.
What if?
Yeah. And if you're that kid's parent, that's pretty terrifying.
I can't believe you never watched the old movie.
No, I still to this day haven't watched the whole old Willy Wonka.
You need to.
We are going to watch it with our kids.
Really?
The script in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, far superior over Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, yeah, the new one's kind of dark and stuff, but you know, it's Johnny Depp.
And he's creepy. As Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Johnny Depp bases all of his characters on famous people. So whenever he gets into character, like with Jack Sparrow, he based that on Keith Richards, the guitarist from Rolling Stones.
Yes, totally makes sense.
And he even made a cameo in, I think, the third movie or something as his
dad.
Totally
makes sense.
And the Willy Wonka was based on Michael Jackson.
They should have just...
Yes! It was!
Yep. And you know what? Now that I think about it, they should have just got Keith Richards to play Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hey, you know what would have been so cool? Keith Richards in Willy Wonka.
Keith Richards as Willy Wonka.
As Willy Wonka, yes, that's what I mean.
Shut up.
That would be cool.
Look. There's snozzberries and there's blackberries and there's all kinds of berries. We are the dreamers of dreams. We are the makers. Wait, we are the dreamers. We are the...
Yes.
Mick!
Somebody make that movie!
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, happy birthday to Gene Wilder.
Happy birthday, Gene.
Happy birthday.
Today we're talking about God's Secrets with Sean Bowles. Going to be on the program once again with us. So excited to be sitting down and talking with him next week. We're going to talk a little bit about those that have come before us. Heroes just like Sean and some of those men and women of the faith that have just really paved the way. Trailblazers, apostles, pioneers. Mm-hmm. Some of the new generation may not even know about some of these folks. It's great to wake them up to some of our heroes. And that is our show next week, Forgotten Fathers. Stick around. We're going to talk about God's secrets when we come back.
I could really use a chocolate bar and a golden ticket.
I am Son of Heaven. I am the apple of God's eye. I'm strong and I'm powerful. God planned me before the foundations of the world. He spoke me into existence. God started my story and He will finish it. I was created with heaven's destiny. I was made to change the world. With God, there is nothing that is impossible for me. I look just like my daddy.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to remember the forgotten fathers, those that have come before us and blazed trails and pushed ceilings higher, just so that we can remember and we can honor those that have done a work for the kingdom before us.
Yeah. Also, it kind of stirs your hunger a little bit because some of these guys did some things that are amazing. So I can't wait to tell all these stories.
Yeah. Every time I think of somebody that I admire that has gone before me, I always want to be just like them.
Right.
I want to be just like them.
Yeah. It's fun to read their stories and get inside their heads and find out what they believed and see what God did to them.
It's pretty awesome. Today, we are going to be sitting down a little bit later with Sean Bowles talking about God's Secrets. And that's our topic of discussion today.
Yep. Sean just came out with a brand new book. It's all about living a life filled with words of knowledge. Had so much fun interviewing him. But I am incredibly excited about what God is doing in the earth right now. And when you came back in from the break, you said empowering. And that word is like exploding in the earth right now. He's just empowering people. And it's so fun to watch what he's doing. He's taking us from a performance-based Christianity. And Josh, you know, we have been around long enough to see the generation before us kind of performancey and based around the gifting and not necessarily around relationship. And man, he's really turning the corner on what he's doing in the earth and revealing to us things about the kingdom, talking to us about how our gifts are actually affecting people relationally and empowering them to change the world. And it's super exciting. I have never been alive at a time like this before.
Well, I know that relationship is everything. Mm-hmm. And it's what he wants. It's what the Father's heart desires more than anything is relationship with his children. I mean, he's valued us that much that he paid the highest price to get us back to the original plan so that he can have a relationship with us. And even growing up, we heard the term devotion. You know, your time in the Word every day or your time in prayer was devotion. It's true, but it almost gives it this kind of subservient obligation. Mm-hmm. I have to read my Bible and I have to pray and do the right things and I'll be a good person. Mm-hmm. And the relationship was lost in that kind of mindset. So I love what it says in Hebrews that we can boldly approach the throne of grace and receive mercy. And that's just walking in like a kid coming up to daddy and saying, hey, what are we doing today?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love it. So we're seeing a resurgence of gifts for sure in our time. And the part that I love about it is that the gifts are actually where maybe in the past we were really centered around gifts and the measure of our success was based on how well we operated in our gift. Like we felt really good if we operated well in our gift. But now like success is being completely redefined because the measure of success now is how well did my gift empower somebody else? And we are find ourselves in this process of actually revealing his nature, his character, who he is, through our gift and through our personality. So we're no longer being tied down to this, you know, we're a worm and, you know, it's just subservient, like you mentioned, but we're actually realizing not only are we being empowered to operate in these amazing things that God's doing, but we are one with Him. And I love this statement that Sean makes, is that we are part of a God consciousness. Not only do we have the mind of Christ in a way that we can hear from Him for somebody else, deliver like a word, but we are part of a God consciousness that includes a plan that's unfolding way bigger than ourselves. And what feels so good about that is that when we have that kind of relationship with Him and we have that relationship with other people where they are encountering our gift, our personality, but they're having an encounter themselves and they are being awakened to who they've always been meant to be.
I love approaching words of knowledge in the prophetic that way, because where I grew up, it was more like scary when the prophet came to town. That was like scary business, because they might call you out on your sin, your secret sin, and like expose it in public. What is hidden in secret will be exposed and shouted from the, you know what I mean? Like that was like, ooh, you know, and I love approaching it from a standpoint of love and empowering other people. And I really try anytime I've, you know, experienced that, to ask myself, is it encouraging? Is it loving? Is it empowering? Is it going to build someone up, instead of like being corrective?
Mm-hmm.
And if the gifts come from the Father, shouldn't they look like Him?
Yeah.
I mean, really, if we think about it, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, I could speak with the tongues of angels, but without love, it doesn't mean anything. You know?
Yeah. And I was getting ready to bring up love, because all of these things that are happening, and even in Next Gen Worship, everything that we're doing, it's flowing out of love. Like the most powerful things that happen are flowing because of love, is because we're not trying to build ministry, we're trying to build people. Mm-hmm. So whenever you get that mindset shift and you're not worried about performance, you're not worried about numbers, you're not worried about who came and who didn't, you're only concerned with Heaven's agenda in the room right now. And that's what He's concerned about. And that's a powerful thing, because we make the presence the focus, and then we start looking at people, Haley, like you just said, and championing them and realizing all of a sudden the things that God has put in there that are just like being highlighted in front of you. And you're like, oh my goodness, did you know that when you do this, or when you operate in that, or when you talk about that, did you know that that just explodes in the room? And a lot of times people say, I had no idea, because nobody has fathered them in that way. But love fathers, gifts father, heaven fathers. It's His nature. And His nature is to empower people by fathering them and creating sons who can then empower other sons.
I think it also has to do with your mentality. Do you have a mentality of lack? Because I think that some of that urgency to call out people's issues and correct comes from a fear that they're going to walk away, get hit by a bus, and go to hell. You know, and so
is that bus again? Where is that?
I know. So you're approaching that whole thing from a place of lack. There's a lack of time. There's a lack of, you know, this could happen. That could be all over in a few seconds, instead of just approaching it from, you know what? God is big enough to have this. God's got it. He's big enough. He has provision for this. And then just letting an outflow of that empower people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more room whenever you're not sin conscious.
Yeah.
You can't operate in a performance-based mentality if you're not sin conscious. I mean, that is kind of the, I have to do better so that I can overcome my sin.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing, right? That's
performance-based.
And what that does is it makes some people are special and some people are not so special.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a big awareness that the value of every single person is identical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we all have the same price on our head, and it's the blood of Jesus. And He gave that price so that He could win us back. Well, He didn't come and die on a cross because we were sinners. He came and died because we had sin, but it was to get it off of us. It was to take it away. It was completely to remove sin so that we could be what we were originally created to be.
Yeah.
And that is sons and daughters.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that what He is doing and what He is building is long-term. It's never isolated in a single generation. It's never isolated in a single ministry or man that's, you know, performing on the earth. But it is long-term. The Bible says that the increase of His kingdom will never end. So what we had before in the previous generation, we're going to have greater now. And in fact, we're building upon it. And we talked about this before. We kind of imagine this picture of him weaving this mm-hmm. fabric. And through the generations, he's weaving this fabric. And the fabric is an image of himself. And it's a revelation of himself, of his nature, to the world. And it's not just factoids. These aren't just facts. I mean, we're not called to dispense facts. We're called to reveal his nature in power through an encounter. And this thing that he's doing from generation to generation, and I feel like even in our generation, it's a hallmark, is that he is revealing himself relationally in a way that is going to propel and empower the generation coming after us beyond what we've ever seen before. We've seen some pretty incredible things in the earth. I mean, we can even read about it as far back as the book of Acts. But I think what we're about to see in the coming generation is going to be far superior as far as the acts and the exploits of the kingdom in the earth, because what we're seeing being built right now is relationship, love, and power, and incredibly good theology all coming together to explode in the earth. And it's just so, I started this way, but it's so exciting.
Well, that's what happens when you have sons and daughters who understand who they are and who understand who their father is. And that's what we're here for, is to display the nature of God on the earth.
I am seeing more and more his character revealed in people.
Mm-hmm.
You think about growing up and some men that knew God. There were few and far between.
Yeah.
And they were traveled. The ones that,
that traveled,
right? But I'm seeing more and more people in my life, regular everyday friends, family, mm-hmm. and people that know God,
mm-hmm.
and they walk with him, and they look like him.
Yeah.
They look like him. It's beautiful.
It's so good. It's so good. You were born to change the world, and you were born to have daily encounters with him that empower you to carry his presence and his nature as an encounter to empower others.
Coming up, we're talking to Sean Bowles about his new book and all the crazy stuff that goes on in his life. God Seekers on the way with Sean Bowles. Stick around. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be remembering forgotten fathers of the faith, those that have come before us and have been pioneers in establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Today, we've been discussing God's secrets, and to discuss his book and talk with us a little bit more about it, today we visit with Sean Bowles.
All right, Sean, thanks for jumping on the podcast with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
We definitely want to jump into your brand new book, God's Secrets. So been blessed by a lot of the books you've written, from finances to the prophetic. Give us a quick backstory, though. Tell us about Sean Bowles for those who have never heard of you, and bring us up to speed.
You know, I'm a guy who was going after kind of performing arts, creative industries, and then God called me into ministry, and it was never one of the main things I thought I'd spend my life doing. I thought it was something that I was doing until I got into whatever industry I was going to get into. And so I never took it as seriously as I did my creative writing and my arts. And so while a lot of people were like going, man, I would love to do what you're doing, I would go, really? You can have that. That's not what I'm doing long term, but what God tricked me. And so it kept all the weird ambition out of it. But I really, because of that, because I'm not a guy who was born inherently gifted or anointed for like hearing his voice to be a prophet or prophetic type guy, I realized everybody can do this. And I've been able to make accessible something that's been very complicated. Like, I love adding, like, where we have emotional intelligence integration, bringing like prophetic intelligence. Like, you can pursue this and restoring a love-based approach to spiritual gifts and like to pursuing God out of a place of, I want to know you and I want to encounter your love for others is so easy. And so what we're wired to do. So it's kind of my background, and I live in LA, have two daughters. My wife and I love Los Angeles, and we've planted a church here that we're no longer the senior pastors, but we're still involved with. And we have ministry, and we're making some media and writing books.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us why you chose God's Secrets. You had a book not too long ago, Translating God. Maybe what's the difference and what compelled you to write it?
I think with Translating God, I wanted to help people to have an easy on-ramp into prophetic ministry and to give them a theology and a philosophy that was accessible. Because some of the books that I had read were so geared towards people who would do this as a full-time job or people who were like, you know, they were more mystical in their nature. And I'm so logical and practical that I wanted to give everybody an access point. The difference with God's Secrets is that I really went after going, you know, pursuing words of knowledge specifically. Now, a word of knowledge would be a present or past fact or information from God with his heart intention involved with this. So this is like when he says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. And John, and Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector, is pretty hated, got up there because he was short and he wanted to see Jesus. He was really hoping for a meeting with him, but knew he never would get one. But Jesus gets his name and says, come down here, I'm going to spend time with you. And the people around him go, don't spend time with him, he's a dirtbag. And he goes, no, I'm trying to be a good person. He goes, regardless of what you say and what people say, I'm spending time with you. Like, I've come here to be with you. And it's revealed the nature of Jesus. And then, you know, Ananias, who goes after Saul, God says, go pray for Saul. He goes, isn't he the enemy of the whole church? He goes, yeah, this is the street address he's on right now. So there's all these times in the Bible where, you know, captives were found, you know, taxes were paid, all these things by a word of knowledge, which was a pretty miraculous word in the here and now about current and past events. So I wrote this book and found over 60 places in the Bible where words of knowledge were key. And they bring about kind of like an awe, like, God, you actually care about us. And then now in the present, you know, our names, our birthdays, our street addresses, our bank account numbers, our schools, our social security numbers. And I realized that this is part of the prophetic that Paul told us to pursue in 1 Corinthians 14:1. So I started to, you know, 20 years ago, pray for this. And then about 4 years ago, start going after it, like saying, wait, we could activate this. And now we have thousands of people around the world. I mean, even this one church just got back from this weekend, Mission Church in Vallejo, or Vacaville, they're actually, they helped solve missing people cases through their relationship
this.
With God.
I love this.
I mean, and the last Amber Alert in their region, they helped the police, the local police, find the car, which was the first step in the case to get the two kids. And that's just, this is now 2 years into this. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, God is so good.
That is incredible. Well, I was going to actually ask you for a couple stories, and we have been dreaming in our community about answers to problems like that. I wondered if you would just give us one or two stories that are just kind of the top of the stack for you as far as encounters in the prophetic.
You know, one of them deals with more of an emotional resolution, and it was a family who, this is several years ago, there's a video of this on our website, but there's a family who happened to be there. The man was leading worship at this kind of a larger event, a couple thousand people. And I didn't meet him before him, but I called him and his wife out. And then I started to prophesy over their cousins who had just lost their son, who had had cerebral palsy. And his dad is an athlete, a major runner, like almost an Olympic level runner. He runs marathons all the time. And so I ended up asking, I said, I see a little runner in heaven who's with Jesus right now. The little boy's name is Runner. That was his literal name. And he had just passed away in the last few weeks. And what I watched happen was this family who had walked us out, had been raising money for this, doing events, triathlons towards this condition, and really wanted to sense, you know, find a sense of resolution and peace for this. God came and showed what Runner was doing in heaven, that he was running in heaven, that he couldn't run on the earth ever. He was always wheelchair bound. But here he is, and I said, he's running over the promises of your family, praying with Jesus, the constant intercessor over your family's life. And they're like crying. I'm crying. Like, just messed up.
Yeah.
And just the fact that God put it on display, you know, like, just so beautiful. And then one that's more of a natural resolution is the other day I was at Starbucks, of all places, and I point across the room at this girl. I was in like kind of one part of the line. She was on the other waiting side of the line. And I point and I yell, like, it's so embarrassing almost, you know. I just get it in me to do this. And I go, and this isn't my personality because I'm actually more of a private person. And I go, hey, you, that girl right there. She goes, me? And I go, yeah. Take the script out of the trash. God gave it to you. He gave you this creativity. Don't throw it away. She gets tears in her eyes. She goes, how do you know I threw my script away? And I go, God showed me. And he loves your script. He loves your writing. The whole place because it's in Studio City, California, just all these entertainment industry people. And they're listening to me from a Christian foundation, screaming at her and watching in real time as she's having to deal with God over something he put inside of her that she gave up on that day. And everybody just like got shaken to the core. It was so beautiful. I was like, yes!
I love it.
Of course, there was follow-up and we talked and we played, but it was just so cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. I noticed that it seems like Holy Spirit is awakening the prophetic and the giftings related to it all over the place. What do you think he's doing? Can you point or illustrate or talk to us maybe about the bigger picture or where he's taking us in the kingdom?
Yeah, I think it's super easy. That's what's beautiful about this is like I name it the God Secrets. It's all mystical, but it's actually really practical and like you can do this. I think it's really easy. Jesus modeled a relationship with the Father where they had communion. And they shared the same headspace and heart space. I mean, you look at Daniel 1:17, the four, you have Daniel and his three friends that were given what the Bible calls in Hebrew, gifts, skills, knowledge of all kinds of spiritual matters. But when you interpret it in Hebrew, it says divine consciousness and divine knowledge.
Oh, I love this.
And
yeah.
Jesus on the earth had divine consciousness. I was sharing the same headspace with God. Now I know being married, like when I'm spending money, I can feel what my wife would say, whether it's good or bad. Like, don't buy that. I share consciousness with her because I know her.
Right.
They're like, yeah, that's totally what we need, you know. But it's beyond that. We actually share the same headspace with God because he lives in us. And so every Christian can relate to reading the Bible. And all of a sudden the scripture comes up for life application. Like, ooh, that's for me right now. That's divine consciousness. But when we start to apply that kind of relationship to bring transformation, God has an original plan on the earth that Jesus restored us to. And so we should be getting signals, indicators, and thoughts from heaven, especially 1 Corinthians 2:14 says we have the mind of Christ. And so we should be getting his mind and his thoughts about what he wants because we're his friends. We're the people on the earth that bring his will. So it can't just be by our own interpretation of scripture. There has to be a spiritual aspect. It has to be the word and the spirit. So I think right now, for the greatest harvest the world's ever seen to happen, he's bringing the greatest harvesting tool, which is his voice.
Yeah, that's incredible. I wonder if you take a minute and just encourage everyone and kind of connect it with your ministry. And because you've got all kinds of tools, lots of resources, even other books that are incredible. Kind of connect us with your heart and what your ministry is doing. And then give us some of your connections like website, social media, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. So our social media is real easy. It's just Sean Bowles. On Instagram, Facebook, all the different places, Twitter. We just kept it under my name for now. And, you know, we're only in our first 18 months of launching outside of our church. I've been doing itinerant ministry for 20 years, but I kept it married to my church. And then we just recently said, let's keep our church our own identity and let's keep mine separate, which has been a blessing to them and us. But it's basically what we're doing right now. The visible portion of our ministry is that we're helping people connect to the voice of God. So we have Translating God, not only the book, but a workbook that brings you activation, prayers, journal assignments, questions. And we also have an e-course you can take through Bethel. If you know Bethel Church in Redding, California, you can take an 8-week e-course for them, or you can just buy it as a kit from us. And then we also have Growing Up with God, which is training kids 7 to 12 on how to build identity and a relationship with God by hearing his voice. So it's not as much about prophesying over others, but it's a novel, a workbook for kids, which is kind of like journaling workbook, and then a full 300-page teacher's guide with a DVD series for Sunday schools or homeschools. And we also have God Secrets, which is a book, a standalone workbook, which you don't even have to read the book to go through the workbook. And it's a little different than the book, so they're really unique resources. And then the book has an e-course coming out next September. So the book will be out in June, but I have an e-course next September. So, then we have all kinds of other materials. Like we have Keys to Heaven's Economy, which is about basically, like if there's a destiny, then there's definitely a provision for it. And I lay out the biblical plus an encounter platform for how to access your provision through your destiny. And then we have 8 keys to unlocking heaven's resources. That's a free book you get, a free ebook you get if you buy the book, or you can buy it separately if you already have the book. So those are the main resources. We have lots of other stuff on dating and on identity and with a phone company. We have a lot of other stuff. The main kind of thing we're going after is hearing God's voice behind the scenes. We're also doing some networking and connection to the entertainment industry. So I do a lot of coaching and consulting, but I don't offer that publicly or there's no public on-ramp to it. So I do a lot of consulting behind the scenes and help people get into their spiritual lane, their spiritual identity that would make them thrive. So I do that with, I'm contract under some multinational corporations, some entertainment groups. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow, you're a busy guy.
It's a fun, busy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, Sean, I really appreciate you being with us today. I just champion you. You're changing lives. You're changing our lives and what you're doing. And the media you're producing is just incredibly impactful. And I can't thank you enough for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much. And I hope to get to know everyone who's listening.
Great to have Sean Bowles on the program with us today. We hope to connect again with him in the future. Next week, join us for Remembering Forgotten Fathers, those apostles that have come before us in the faith and done extraordinary things for the kingdom. You definitely don't want to miss that program as we mine the Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.